The notes will come to you free of charge by writing to MZF, Mount Zion Fellowship, MZF at cox.net, and they'll come as an attachment on your email. That's for the people that are in internet land. I said cox.net. You may be interested in them, so as far as the people that are here, maybe Leslie can arrange to have hard copies for you. There's about 7 pages of notes here, so we're not going to get through them this morning. But I'd like to hit just on the part that is relevant to the good move of God among us. I won't have you stand again. Let's pray. Lord, I do thank you that the waters are troubled this morning. And I think what I have to say will help. So help all those that went out and hear the prayers of the saints for the service people. And help us to do your will in all things. I lean on the Holy Spirit today as never before to give us understanding and to help me say the right thing in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to start in Isaiah 59. You've had a microcosm look this morning. We're going to have a macrocosm look. Now, notice these are preparatory statements. Starting with the first two, your iniquities have separated you from your God. This is speaking to Israel. Okay, let me explain something that you'll need to know as we go along. There are two Zions. There's a Zion in over in the Middle East, and Satan knows that his work is going to be done there. Okay, Belinda, a lot of this is going to be something you've never heard before. But almost all of the prophets, if you'll notice, had a very negative message to Israel. They'd end up with a few blessings and promises, but by and large, it was like Isaiah 59. Now, this is important to understand, or I wouldn't be doing it this way. Your iniquities, he's talking to the Jewish people, his chosen people, Zion, his elect. Your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. For your hands are stained with blood, your fingers with guilt, your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue mutters wicked things. It reminds me of the things that Bill Ott said today. And that is true of the Christian church, and it was true of Israel then, Israel in the flesh, and it's true of Israel today in the flesh. They're leaning on America, they're doing the thing that God told them not to do, and they need a prophet. They've got scholars, they have rabbis, men of tremendous learning, but they have no prophet. And if you have a spare time to pray, pray that God will send a prophet to Israel. It'll walk the streets around Ben Maimon, where we live for a while, and by the great synagogue there, and proclaim to Israel, trust in God and not in the United Nations. See, deep in the heart of the Jewish people there is truth, but it's so hard for them. And every prophet, if you look at it, talks like this. But there's always a promise. There's always a promise. And if you can get one of these hard copies of these notes here, listen when Bill puts this on the internet. However, that's incomplete. You'll have to have all of this. This is a rather profound subject, and you're going to have to listen carefully or you'll miss it. As is the case with most of the prophets, when you get down to verse 20, you'll find there's a promise. There always is a promise to Israel. Always. He tells them everything they're doing wrong, and he says, but. And the length of time it will take that but to be fulfilled is what I want to talk about this morning, and I probably won't even get to it because it is rather complicated. But it ends up in the New Jerusalem, where the two Zions, the Zion that we're members of, the spiritual Zion and the physical Zion, come together in the New Jerusalem. But notice in verse 20, the Redeemer will come. Now notice the preposition. The Redeemer will come to Zion. Notice that. To those in Jacob who repent of their sins. Jacob is another meaning for Israel. Israel is the prince with God, the wrestler with God. Jacob is a supplanter, but Jacob became Israel, just like we can be changed from being a supplanter to being a prince with God. He did that for old Jacob. The Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent of their sins, declares the Lord. Now, that is what is happening in this church in August 28th, 2016. This verse, Isaiah 59:20. How many times did we hear this morning to repent? We heard a lot about gifts, but this is not talking about gifts. This is talking about us. We are a spiritual Zion. And it's talking about us repenting. It's not time for Israel yet. Her day hasn't come yet. It will come in Isaiah 60. It has not come yet. Now God is talking to the true eternal Zion. It is in Hebrews. Here we are. Now take notice of this. This is us. Hebrews 12, 22 and 23. I have to do this for those who are listening on the internet. But you have come down to Mount Zion. Now that's future, isn't it? Deathly silent. Wake up! Is it future or present? All right. You're going to have to be awake to listen to me today. I'm in a rare mood. But you have come. You have come to Mount Zion. So you see, there's two Zions. There is Zion over in the Middle East that the Muslims are so concerned about, because Satan knows that God will not do his great work until he gets the two Zions together. And one of our worst problems today is keeping the Jews separate from the Gentiles, and neither one understands what's going on. And even over there in Israel, that call ourselves Messianic Jews, we don't know what we should be called. I'll tell you what to be called: Christians. That sounds so silly, but they calling themselves Messianic Jews. We don't call ourselves Messianic Gentiles. That term should never be used again by anyone in this room. Messianic Jews, there's no such thing. They are Christians or they are not. Amen. They're not a special breed of Christians. They are the original Christians. Amen. How many know when the Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost, when the Christian church was born, and the disciples all spoke in tongues, who were the audience? People from all over the world, all Jews. And that's why when Peter addressed them, he said, "My fellow Israelites, the church is Jewish, and yet it is not Jewish. It is the seed of Abraham." And there's only one seed of Abraham. Who is that?
Christ.
Jesus Christ. There's only one. That's in Galatians. And the best book on this subject is Galatians. And also the second chapter of Ephesians, where Paul tells us you are one. You are one. There is neither Jew nor Greek. No, neither Jew nor Gentile. That's what it is. It's in Galatians. There is neither Jew nor Gentile. And then we say Messianic Jew. What is that? It's some kind of a makeshift. You're a Christian, you're a seed of Abraham, or you are not. And you are the seed of Abraham because you're part of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have partaken of his body and blood, you're part of the seed of Abraham. And you're no longer a Gentile. You're not a Messianic Gentile. You are a Christian. The Christians, the disciples were Jewish in the beginning. And in Antioch, the disciples were called Christians. Christians. Those were Jews and Gentiles. There's not one instance in the Bible that says Messianic Jew. You've got to read my 7 pages. It explains it all and uses a variety of verses. I know this is a mental adjustment to you. You know the gospel of the kingdom is to the Jew first. Now you don't believe that. Please forgive me if I'm combative this morning. I'm so sick of hearing there's a Jewish church. You know, all Christians. And there's a Gentile church. There are not two churches. There's only one church. How many bodies of Christ are there?
One.
Are the Jews in it?
Yes.
Are the Gentiles in it?
Yes.
Then they lose their racial identity. And they become the seed of Abraham. Amen. No, if that isn't logical. So it's a mental adjustment. We're so used to say, oh, that's the Jewish church. Someone one time said to two witnesses were the Jewish church and the Gentile church. Isn't that cute? Some teach that the raptured Gentiles are in heaven and the Jews are on earth in New Jerusalem. We have so much needless confusion. There is one church. There's not two. Being a Jew doesn't make you a special Christian. Yes, I take that back. It does make you a special Christian in that the word came to you first. First. And I'll tell you another thing. The word will come to you last. I'll explain that as I go along if I have time. I probably won't. I get distracted. But you have come, Gentile people, to the city of the living God. And it's not speaking about Jerusalem in the Middle East. There's another Zion. There are two Zions. There's a Zion in the Middle East that the Muslims are so afraid of. And there's a Zion that we have come to. You are Mount Zion. There's two Zions. And eventually, they will be one in the New Jerusalem. Now, does that make sense? No. I realize I'm coming against a long tradition. Somewhere, probably about 300 AD, when the Catholic Church organized, the Christian Church became Gentile. It was not Gentile before then. That's ridiculous. You'll find in my 7 pages of notes here how dismayed the Jews were that God was going to give the gospel to Gentiles. In the house of Cornelius, all these Gentiles. And Peter said, look at that. Then he had to explain to the Jewish apostles that God had blessed the Gentiles the same as he did us. They couldn't get over it. The Gentiles. Hey, I'll tell you something funny. They had a council. See, this was a big trouble in those days because the Jews could not accept that Gentiles could be Christians. Just the opposite today. Yeah, somewhere the church became Gentile. Never by any dictum from God, but because somehow the Jews got pushed over to second place, marginalized. The original church. Marginalized, while the Gentiles took over Jesus spoke to the woman, prayed for her daughter, and he said, it's not meet to give the children's bread to dogs. That doesn't rattle your cage, that we're dogs. We are the goyim. We've made ourselves the church. We are not the church. There's only one church. It was born among the Jews. And it'll be end up in the New Jerusalem, not the new, New York or the new California or something. The New Jerusalem is our destiny. It's the royal priesthood. It's the family of God, and it's all elect. It's by God's choice. No other way. There's no such thing as a Gentile church. It does not exist. No wonder the church is so dead. And the young people are fleeing for their lives. And some denominations are talking about the next gen. There's no hope in the next gen. They're being fed the garbage by the old gen. The worst thing that Satan has put some very clever bombs among us. And one is that righteous behavior is not that important. What's important is belief. Look at this. This is what God is distressed about in Isaiah 59. And he gave us a new covenant because of this. And we say the new covenant is we don't have to be righteous. We just have to believe. We don't have to obey Christ. We have to believe in Christ. Let me tell you something. If you don't obey Christ, you don't believe Christ. That whole thing is a religious farce and a delusion. We're living in a delusion. That God is accepting all this in Isaiah 59 now because of grace. God gave us a new covenant because he's not accepting it. And this is what he says. Oh, well, let me finish this. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. He's not talking about Jerusalem on earth. He's talking about Jerusalem in the spirit world. Did you know there's a Jerusalem in the spirit world? There's a Zion on a high mountain in the spirit world where the throne of God is. One day it's coming to the earth, but not until the two Zions are one. And Jesus said, there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now listen to Hebrews. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. Why are they so happy? Because God is doing a new thing in the spirit world. The kingdom comes from heaven to the church of the firstborn. We have come to that, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God. We have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect. And who is it written to? The book of Hebrews. To Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Now, this has already happened to us. And look what Isaiah 59 says. Isaiah 59 verse 20. Speaking of the bondage of Israel, of the natural Zion, the physical Zion. Speaking of that bondage, he says, listen to what he says. The Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent of our sins. There it says, that's us. And he was here this morning. And what was he telling us? Repent. It's happening now to us because we have something grand and glorious in the future. We're not called to sit on our do-nothing up in the spirit realm. We have a mission, and it will begin with our, not begin, but it will turn into our mission to the Jews. You say, where do you get that? You'll see in a minute. All right. The Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob. That's today. Among us. See, the prophet spoke to two people at once, to physical Israel and to the spiritual Israel, which is the Messiah. part of the Messiah. Then he says the great promise here, my words which I put in your mouth. All right, now I'm going to give you another verse that's a little more familiar. You know what? Do you want to know what God is saying to us today? With all the multitude of words, repent of your sins and turn away from them, and I'll help you. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to us today. We have repented of our sins. We have done all this, all our Christian life. Now the Lord is saying it will work. There comes a time in the kingdom of God. And I don't care what your sin is, or a besetting sin, or how deeply it is rooted in you, maybe something from years watching pornography or God knows what. You couldn't get rid of it before. It's a demon. I was reading recently of a deliverance from a young lady. They couldn't get her. She's back on drugs and back on drugs and back on drugs until the pastor was taught how to cast out demons, and he talked to that demon, and the demon came out. Ah, we don't even know we've got demons in us, but we do. You'll notice in the New Testament that sin is addressed like something that will work. We see, you know where it is? In our flesh. It's in our flesh. Have you got something this morning you can't get victory over? Do you? All the promises of God are to the victors. You want to come out second place and be ruled by others who are more diligent? If you've got something that God has spoken to you about and you know it's not right, get rid of it. It's the day to get rid of it. I don't care what it is. I don't care if your grandfather had it and your father had it and your children have it. I don't care. This is the day when God is coming to Zion, the spiritual Zion, not the natural Zion, the spiritual Zion, to tell God about it and turn away from it. Amen. Huh? Amen. Oh, you may say, but everybody's doing it. I know they say that about gossip. Let me tell you something. When the Lord comes, it isn't the majority of Christian people that are going to meet him. It's a small minority, because they're going to be in his army. And then work with the physical Zion, and I can't ever get to it today. But it's all in these notes here, and the verses. Okay? You'll weather the storm. How many times has God told us things are changing? We say, yes, 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 things are changing. That's a new wrinkle in our catechism. Well, things are changing. Yep. And I don't like it because it makes me, my fellowship is extremely thin. The elect who compose the heavenly Zion, that's what we're in, the heavenly Zion. We're not in the earthly Zion, unless there's someone here that snuck off to Israel, declares the Lord. We cannot, the Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent of their sins. But if you go to, where is it, Romans chapter 11, verse 25. Now we're going to see a different preposition, not two. We're going to see where the Redeemer comes from. The Deliverer in Isaiah, the Deliverer will come to Jacob. Isn't that what it is? No, the Redeemer will come to Zion, okay? Now we find where the Redeemer comes from. The Deliverer will come from Zion. From Zion. And you are Zion. Now do you see why you have to repent and turn away from your sins? God wants to use you to turn away ungodliness from Israel, from the physical Israel. Satan knows that he has to keep the Gentile church, pardon the expression, and the Jewish church separate, because the kingdom cannot come until they're together. And we've got these in our mind, they're all separate. There's a Jewish church, there's a Messianic Jews. What do they call themselves now? Messianic Jews. What a pathetic expression. It's like you got a group of people that are separate from the Gentiles, separate from the Christians. They're separate from physical Israel. They're a special little something or other. When as the book of Acts, they're Christians. They're the original church. Well, get Leslie to make some hard copies and read it. And when you read it, you may feel differently than you do now. So we don't need to come and have that man yell at us. He's in his dotage. Now, do you see why God is telling us to turn from our sins? Can you see the trap that Satan has put in the Gentile church by saying righteous behavior is not important? It's because it will be our duty and our destiny to go in the Spirit to Israel and turn them away from their sins. I said, God, how can we do that? I do not understand. Do we collar these people and say, do right? No. It will be like the past revivals in the world. The Holy Spirit comes upon people till they don't sin. They don't want to sin. It happened in Wales. It happened several times in the United States. It closed the bars. It closed the dance halls. People learned righteousness because the Holy Spirit came in like a flood. And that's the way it's going to come to the Jewish people. Not by us lecturing them about the four steps of salvation, but because by that time we have turned from our sins, we are full of the Holy Spirit. At the edict of Jesus Christ, we follow him into Israel, and the Spirit of God will flood the whole nation, and it'll be like the closing of the dance halls and the closing of the bars and all that happened in America several times. In fact, the Spirit of God was so strong upon Finney that when he came near a town, the factories had to quit working because the people were crying so hard. And he hadn't even preached or been in the factory. It was just near there. They tell about praying high. He was at a port city, and the ships would come in, and people on the ships could feel the power of the man's prayer. That's what's coming down. But first, we have to repent. And we don't go over to the Jews and say, it's all right, God has saved you by grace. What does it say? The Lamb of God who forgives the sins of the world, right? Who does what? Who takes away the sins of the world. And that hasn't happened yet, even in this church. And that's what Bill is talking about. And I'm not accusing anybody. I have my own problems. I can spend my time on my own problems. But God has called me to burn your ears. All right, now, look what it says. He will, this deliverer, who is the deliverer? It's the one that's being formed now in the Christian churches, both Jews and Gentiles. And we have got to get ready to be used of God to bring the power of the Holy Spirit to the original chosen people. We act like they're some kind of country cousins. We're the country cousins, not the Jews. Not the Jews. They're the princes with God, but they've fallen into such sin. Now we're going to come and help them get rid of the sin by preaching grace or the four steps of salvation. No, by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to such an extent that they have to serve God. And by that way, God will take away their worldliness, the demons that dwell in their flesh, and their, what was that third thing? And their self-will. God will take them all away. And physical Zion will be saved like that. Boom! That's what the Bible teaches. But there has to be a deliverer who comes, who has been delivered himself from sin. Oh, I had a good verse I ran across, because you may think here I'm blowing smoke. Listen, great things are ahead. You're not asked to be repentant so we can take away your favorite sins. Oh, there's one in Haggai. I'll have to quote it to you. I don't see it here. It says, the deliverers, plural, shall come up on Mount Zion. That's in Haggai. The deliverer is coming from Zion. Not from the Jewish Zion, from us. And that's why, look at what a crazy service we had today. It was at all ends. I thought, there'll never be time to preach. It's all right. God knows what he's doing. I'm not worried about it. Well, look what a crazy service we had. We have the young and the old up telling us how we're supposed to do. This, he will turn ungodliness away from Jacob. Romans 11:25. How many believe that he will tell them they're saved by grace and he has forgiven them? Is that turning away godlessness or not?
No,
it's not. And he hasn't turned away God. You know, I had a laugh. We had a song up here, an offertory. He has the keys. He holds the keys. And people were clapping. And I thought, for heaven's sake, we haven't learned what to do with the keys yet. And this is my covenant with them when I forgive their sins. Hallelujah. What does it say?
Take away.
What does take away mean? It means take away. It means take away, Mike. It means take away, not forgive. Christ didn't come to forgive the sins of the world. The Lamb of God who
takes away.
And that hasn't happened yet. We're coming to the, he's kept the good wine until now, Wayne. He's kept the good wine until now. We're going to be released. And that's what it was all about this morning, was it? Or was it not?
It
wasn't. What a crazy church service. Anybody come in there and think, this is a church. This is not a church. There's supposed to be an organ. There's supposed to be a minister with a robe on. Everybody's supposed to be sitting real nice. It's to be as quiet as a funeral parlor. And what do we have? A shambles. I didn't know what was coming next. And finally, I saw where it had relevance. Then this famous saying, the law will come from Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Do you know, Wayne, what that, it has already come from Zion. You know what the word is? The Sermon on the Mount. That's the word that's going to govern the nations in the future. Matthew chapters 5-7. It's already come out from the Zion, which Jesus is. And after all, he is Zion.
Amen.
And he is Israel. And he is the seed of Abraham. And he is the Lord God Almighty. He's not the Father. Sometimes we get confused. He's not the Father. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 24 that my coming is not known to me or to the angels, only to my Father. Well, if Jesus was the Father, what sense does that make? Oh, well, nothing like making sense. All right. And I'm telling you what I think I have seen with the Lord. If I'm wrong, correct me, all right? All right, already? Now I'm reading a little bit from my notes here. First, we have to think of Mount Zion in two dimensions. The first is the land of Israel. The second is the heavenly Zion. Is that clear to everybody? Otherwise, you will not make any sense out of what I'm teaching. There are two Zions, and Satan's trying to keep them apart. Because the kingdom cannot come until the two Zions are together. The Jew first. The gospel is to the Jew. Oh, I remember what I was going to tell you. It was so funny. The Jewish apostles could scarce believe that God was going to do anything with those dirty Gentiles, which you are, and I am, dogs, not meat to give the children's food, children being Israel, and us being the dogs. So they got together in Jerusalem under the auspices of Pastor James, I guess, and these are all Jewish, distinguished Orthodox Jews with their forelocks and black hats and all the rest of it. Don't think of them like this. These are people from Wall Street. These are Orthodox Jews. Paul, Rabbi Paul, Rabbi Peter, and the rest of them. So they got together. What do we do about this Gentile thing? A word is coming to us from the outreaches that Gentiles are accepting Christ and being filled with the Spirit and speaking in tongues. What do we do, men and brethren? Now, this was a terrible problem to them because they didn't think. You see, look at the background they have in the Bible and the prophets and the priests of Israel and everything. The Gentiles had nothing. So they saw they had all the riches of the kingdom, but it seems that somehow God was doing something with Gentiles. Now, does that make you inflated at all? Your country cousins, people. And I'm myself. I'm Scotch English. I'm a country cousin. I'm not a Jew. I'd be proud if I was a Jew. An old Jew said to me one time, "You know why I'm Jewish? Because I was born a Jew." He felt that was very profound. It probably was. All right. This is the funny thing they came out with. They said, look, this is what we'll tell them and get them off our back. Don't drink blood. Don't indulge in fornication. And there was a couple other things they had at that level of operation. That was the best they had for the Gentiles. Don't drink blood. Don't fornicate. And there's a couple of other things. Isn't that wonderful? That's our gospel. We can't drink blood. We can't eat things offered to idols. We can't fornicate. That's all we got. They've got Abraham, Moshe. They've got everything, the prophets. And what have we got? We can't drink blood. We can't eat things offered to idols. That's all we got for you dudes. That's it. You're going to have to live with it. You're not a Jew. You're not a prince of Yehuda. They didn't read their Bible as usual, where God said, he put them on the same level as the princes of Yehuda. So you haven't lost it yet, so don't flee. All right. And then the Apostle Paul comes. Bless him. What he learned in the desert for 10 years or whatever it was is a marvel. This guy was an Orthodox of the Orthodox, circumcised the eighth day of the tribe of Benjamin, and accepted by all the Jews, a Pharisee of the Pharisee, born a Roman citizen, so much so the official from Rome was scared to death because they had him beaten. And they said, this man is a Roman citizen and we had him beaten? Anyway, you want to look at it. Paul was rich in the world, rich in the Jewish tradition. And then God met him on the way to Damascus. And Paul's world turned upside down because he had been putting Christians in jail. And through our beloved Rabbi Paul, we have the understanding of the body of the Messiah, the body of the Anointed One. His greatest word is, I am crucified with Christ. Can you imagine a rabbi saying that? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but it's not I who am living. It's Christ who is living in me. And he had to say this in answer to Peter and the others were saying, but you go eat with Gentiles. You go eat with Gentiles. He says, I'm crucified with Christ. Oh, we can't begin to realize. That's why we don't understand Paul's epistles, because in them mostly he's writing to Jews. When he says you're saved by grace and not by works, he's not talking about righteous behavior. But that's the way we interpret it. He means the works of Moses. Because we're not Jews. All the works to us is behaving ourselves. And then we don't read enough of the Bible to find out what's going on. All right. I've already brought to you the attention of Revelation 14. Now, what was it I want to tell you? There was one more important thing. Let me give you, as I understand it, now if I'm wrong, I humbly beseech you to forgive me. But this is the way I see it coming down. First of all, God has to clean up his church because we've been polluted with false doctrine, especially the rapture and the lawless grace. And the rapture depends on lawless grace because it's going to take all the carnal Gentile Christians up to heaven to do God knows what, if anything. Hank, our old custodian, wanted to play golf. He felt he could play golf. That's the extent of our understanding. So now he has kept the best wine until now, and I'll try to get this straight. Jesus, of course, as you'll see in Revelation 14, is standing. Oh, that is so significant. He's standing on Mount Zion with 144,000 of God's first fruits. Not with the whole church. When the psalm says, sit at my right hand. So he was disobeying God, wasn't he? Wasn't Christ disobeying God in John 14? In Revelation 14? When he's standing, he's supposed to be sitting. He says, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. So the fact that Christ is standing with 144,000 people who follow him everywhere he goes, special, God's first fruits from the earth. And we see that they're standing with him. You know why, dearly beloved? Because the deliverer is preparing to come from Zion to save God's people from their sins. That's why. So what happens is the Lord summons his army. Now you want to understand it's Machanaim. It's the dance of a double camp, an army of angels, an army of saints. And the saints are the politicians. They're the political leaders. The angels do the fighting. All you're there for is to be the presence of the Lamb. And the angels will obey what the Lamb says through you. You just like today in the communists, they have the political leaders, and then they have their army. And that's what it will be like in the saints. You, if you fit what it says in Revelation 14, and if you count yourself as an ordinary church member, like we were addressed to today, Bill talked to us so solemnly, you're laying back, you're not doing anything, it's true. So we've got to get a hold of Jesus and find out what he is saying to us as an individual. Now what I say, I make a practice of, I say to God, you said that man shall live on every word that comes from God. So I say to the Lord a couple times a day, what is your word for me right now? So I can live on it. Okay? I'm about through, so don't quit. I want to make sure you get the sequence. Then the Lord's army comes to the camp, the double camp comes down, and they pick up a few from the Christian churches. A few. You say, where do you get that? Straight as the gate, and narrow is the way, and a whole bunch of people find it. All the Christians find it. They just say, I accept Jesus. And they found the light. They haven't found life at all. They've entered a denomination. You don't find the life of God until you wrestle with God like Jacob. And that old supplanting nature in you is converted to Israel. Then you have life, and it is those few, maybe 1% of the Christian church, that will hear the trumpet and be called to Jesus when he comes with all those saints in glory to pick up their resurrection, to get their bodies resurrected. And at that time, you will be resurrected. By that I mean your flesh will be filled with the Spirit of God. And so now you're part of the army. You're part of that Zion that's come from heaven. And the next thing that happens, you will defeat Antichrist. He will be thrown in the lake of fire. You will defeat the false prophet. He will be thrown in the lake of fire. A mighty angel will come down and throw chains around Satan, and he will be thrown into the bottomless pit. Hang in there. We haven't come to the climax yet. Okay, the next thing that happens, the earth has to be cleansed of all the works of Antichrist. And that's found in the second chapter of Joel. They go through the earth, and you will be there as part of those two armies, the dance of the double camp. I think you'll be invisible. I think with a resurrection body, you can be invisible if you want to, or visible if you want to. It doesn't matter. I don't think the angels will be visible at all. All that the people on earth at that time, the battle of Armageddon has to do with the battle of Christ against Satan. It isn't a cleansing of the earth. The cleansing of the earth comes in Joel 2, where we go through with him and the Antichrist institutions are demolished by the word of God. We're still the politicians. We're in an army, and we're following the Lord Jesus Christ, as is the army of angels. And at what Christ says through us, that's what the angels do, and they demolish the works of civilization. You can read about it in the book of Joel. Okay, so now we have the great spiritual lords have been cast down, as I told you. Now the earth has been cleansed. There's still a lot of people on the earth that have not been affected by Antichrist. Okay, what happens next? This deliverer comes to the physical land of Israel, and they set the Jews free from sin, worldliness, the lust of the flesh, and their self-will. Jewish people are very strong will. From then on, there will be God's will. Be God's will. And what happens is described in the 60th chapter of Isaiah. Is it up there? Lloyd, Isaiah 60. This is the climax. Isaiah 60 went the way of all flesh. Arise, shine, for your light has come. This is physical Israel. This is an Israel that people on the earth can see. The physical Zion. And the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Darkness covers the earth and darkness over the people. But the Lord rises upon you and his glory appears over you. This is speaking of physical Israel. Nations will come to your light. It's the conversion of the nations that we're trying to do with money. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Physical Israel, the promise that God has always promised to them, has come to pass in Isaiah 60. Meanwhile, the invisible Zion is in Jerusalem also. You say they won't fit. I want to tell you something. When you are a resurrected person, you don't occupy any space unless you choose to. Remember the resurrected Jesus ate the honeycomb and he ate the fish. He took up some space there, but he doesn't have to. And you can have 10,000 people in one room. And if they're all in the resurrection bodies and they choose to, they will not occupy any space at all. So the space will be occupied by physical Israel. And all the nations will come to Jerusalem when they see this light. And then for 1,000 years, Christ will reign with the two Zions with him. One that's visible and the other behind them, reinforcing them, helping them for 1,000 years, and the nations then will be converted to righteousness. Then God says enough, and Satan goes in the lake of fire. The resurrection of the dead takes place, And then there appears a great new earth, much larger than the present earth, and all new stars of all different colors. And then down through the new sky will come the perfected body of the Messiah. And the throne of God is in that, the New Jerusalem. That's the royal priesthood. And they will govern the works of God's hands throughout the always multiplying ranks of mankind. And that, dearly beloved, is why you're being called upon today to repent. So God will have a nucleus of people that he can count on to bear the glory of God to Israel so that they can become Isaiah 60 in preparation for the 1,000-year reign. Are there any questions? I know you're numb by now. Maybe Leslie will print out as many of these as are needed. You only got a tiny bit of what's in here. All the verses. Like Mr. Tebow, the football player. What verse does he have tattooed on his head or on his eyelids or something? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace he is saved through faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. But nobody reads verse 10. And it's verse 10 that explains it. For God has ordained you to do the good works that he has ordained for you. And those good works are what I just got through telling you. It's why we're saved by grace and not by our works. But we're being saved for a day when we'll bring righteousness to the world. I thought a hand was up over here, and it's not. It's a hairdo. All right. You've been a good audience. You all got A+. I know by now you're numb. But remember, you need to read these notes. And for people on the internet, they will come on their as an attachment on their email. All right, I'm going to pray and thank God for his goodness. See what I said? God talks hard to Israel, but he has some wonderful things in store. So the hardness is necessary at this time. Who was it? Bill was telling us, or someone was telling us, in your affliction, you know, look to the Lord, look to the Lord. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, not those who just believe in Jesus, but those who are disciples and obey him and show their belief by their obedience. And if you don't show your belief by your obedience, you don't believe. It's all a religious farce. Oh, hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, you're such a great God and your wisdom is so infinite. And I thank you, Lord, that we've had the Apostle Paul come and give us more than not drinking blood and not eating things sacrificed to idols, but has told us about Messiah and what Messiah is doing in us when we're born again. Oh, God, thank you, you know what you're doing. And I pray that no one in this room will forget what they have heard as the different people have spoken. And we know we have to repent, so help us, Lord. Help us burn into our consciousness that he has kept the good wine until now. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Toodaloo.